You're going to be turning this morning to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we begin with this passage. We're not going to examine this passage in our message today, but this passage certainly lays the groundwork for what we will be looking at. In John chapter 8, if you found your place there, please stand with me as we would reverence God's word to us this morning. In verse 30, it says this: as he spake these words, many believed on him. Praise the Lord. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, that put their faith in him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, or truly. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, these Jews that were present there, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? It's a rather silly statement. Even as they spoke those words, they were under the dominion and rule of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire held a sieve hand over them. But Jesus answered them, verily, verily, or for a fact, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. In our passage, those words servant are the word slave. The word for slave. And in fact, the word bondage in verse 33 is the word meaning to be enslaved. Sin is a taskmaster. Sin is a master indeed and enslaves those who are under its prey, under its dominion. Father, we bow before you once again, asking you, Lord, please take complete charge of this time. Pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would enter in and move in our midst, brood over this meeting, Father. I'm asking you to arrest our attention, focus our thoughts upon what you would say to us today. Father, it doesn't matter what a preacher would say, but oh God, you would rule and overrule, and that not a word would pass over this pulpit that you would not order. Please, Lord, give liberty to declare what you would have declared today. And Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that whoever may be in this service this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, please, Lord, help them to see the Savior who loved them and laid down his life for them. God, please get glory for yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Of course, you may be seated. What's it mean to be free? Is freedom just some kind of an idea or concept? Is it maybe a state of mind? Or is there such a thing as an experience of freedom? Of freedom. Now, thinking about that, as I often do, I believe it or not, I took the dictionary down off the shelf, and you know, that's not exactly what I did. I went to dictionary.com, we do today, or one of those, I forget which one, and looked up for the dictionary definitions for this word freedom. First one was a state or condition of being free. Well, okay, that's okay, but it doesn't really help a whole lot there. The second definition was not being under another's control, having the power to do or say as one pleases, to have liberty. Now, that helps. That helps, but who is completely free. In reality, none of us are totally and absolutely free to do as we please. Beloved, there's even limits to the freedom of a wild animal. We do remember such a thing called the food chain, don't we? Well, a third definition. The right of enjoying all privileges accompanying citizenship or membership. Now that helps even more. That says something that we can work with here. Now, I'm going to use an example, but even this example in our day is breaking down. But as a citizen of the United States of America, I'm granted the rights and the privileges that pertain to being a citizen of this nation. And again, even that is breaking down in our day where government overreach is rampant. Well, under the Constitution, though, in the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, we as citizens are guaranteed certain freedoms in accordance with those documents, regardless of who I am, where I'm from, the color of my skin, my age, or even my sex. We can add to that, even this, and so important, we can add to that proper interpretation, whether or not I've left my mother's womb yet. Freedom, according to this definition, is the right of enjoying all privileges that go with citizenship or membership. Now, with that in mind then, with this idea in mind, I'd like us to consider some of the freedoms that a citizen of the kingdom of God enjoys. Areas of freedom that you and I that know Jesus Christ as our Savior enjoy because we're citizens of the kingdom of God. Now, but with that, you've got to receive that citizenship. You have to become a citizenship. What did I have to do to become a citizen of the United States of America? Well, in my case, I was simply born here. I had to be born here. But there are thousands that become citizens of the United States through the process of naturalization and all that goes with that. But even with that said, there is only one way to become a citizen of God's kingdom. You can't take a test. You can't study up on it. There's only one way to become a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you must be born into that kingdom. Still in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, verse 3, here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he answered and said unto Nicodemus there, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus expands on that in the fifth verse. He says, verily, verily, for a fact I'm saying to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There is no naturalization process into the kingdom of God. There's one way into God's kingdom. You must be born again by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. God's kingdom, it's not limited to natural borders. Its borders, the kingdom of God's borders, do not extend from sea to shining sea. No. There's no boundaries, physical boundaries, to his kingdom. God's kingdom extends to the extent of his rule. His kingdom, his rule. Wow. There's its borders its borders, beloved, reach to the farthest extent of the universe. Our God is God of every square inch of this world. Whether the world acknowledges that or not, whether the lost man acknowledges God's rule or not, it does not change a thing. God is in the process of populating his kingdom. These young people that were saved last week became citizens of his kingdom, the kingdom of God. He's in that process of populating his kingdom from every part of the globe. Hey, we praise God for what he did here during youth camp and even after. But he's not limited to the borders of this city, this county, this nation. But he's reaching people to the far reaches of this globe. Souls are born into the kingdom of God. But it's not by our first birth. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 say this. He says, but as many as received him, as many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 goes on to say, and listen to this, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. One way into that kingdom is to be born of God.
Amen.
That work of God. Now, a lot of folks got up this morning and went to church because they thought somehow that was going to make them a Christian. That's going to make them what they ought to be before God. But beloved, it is possible to be among God's people, but not of God's people. Not one of God's people. Hanging out with Christians, even to go into church, and all that goes with that. No more makes you a Christian than hanging out in a barn makes you a cow. You don't have enough stomachs. Jesus is, can I use it this way? We're talking about country. Jesus is the visa.
Yeah.
Talking about visas a lot with David and Kelsey these days. Jesus is the visa. He's the gateway to enter the kingdom of God. Now we've been saying this. There is one way into God's kingdom. One way into heaven. And that way is Jesus Christ. Many protest. Are you Christians? You Bible believers? You're always saying that Jesus is the only way. Don't complain. Praise God, he gave us a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. You hear that? Jesus said this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. The Apostle Paul told one that was seeking salvation. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If any man is going to become a citizen of the kingdom of God, he must be saved. Born again, as we like to call it. He must be born of God. But for all, every one of you that is saved, born again, there are freedoms. There are freedoms that have been accorded to you, granted to you. The child of God, oh my, child of God needs to understand this. We need to understand this so that we can enjoy those freedoms. Isn't that part of the definition of freedom? To enjoy it. We've been blessed by God with certain freedoms. Child of God is blessed by the Son of God the presence of the Spirit of God, that we might walk to the pleasure and honor of God the Father. The freedoms that we have in Christ are a great treasure. They're a treasure, beloved, given to us by God for our good, for our blessing, and for His glory. For His glory. They are freedoms that go beyond the temporal. Go beyond the here and now. Oh, it's so easy for us to become so short-sighted. The world is short-sighted. Those without Christ are short-sighted. They see now. But when you get saved, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become far more. You become a spiritual being with an eternity with Him promised. Well, we're only going to look at one of these freedoms this morning, and we'll look at another one this evening. But we live in a world, are we not, that's in upheaval. Even a nation that's in upheaval. But the citizen of the kingdom of God enjoys now peace. Peace. I was joking with the fellows in the prayer room earlier. We had a great turnout for the 9 o'clock prayer meeting here. The preachers and deacons and a few others. They started talking about some of the things that are going on across the country. And I said, stop right now, guys. I can feel my blood pressure rising. We joke about that. But regardless of what's going on around us, the peace of God is still ours. We live in a world of upheaval. There's conflict and strife. It seems everywhere, doesn't it? Everywhere we turn. Divisions and battles on every side. And we're not going to go into all of that. There seems to be very little peace. One of our most precious possessions, and I think we can describe it as a freedom. As a freedom, as we'll look at it today. As a citizen of God's kingdom, there is a peace, as Isaiah calls it, that passeth understanding. Passeth understanding. Our sovereign King, Jesus Christ, grants peace to the citizens of His kingdom. The Apostle Paul found that peace. He found that peace. That peace, first of all, with God. Peace with God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. That word justified that the Apostle Paul uses there, therefore being justified, how? By faith. The word justified just means to be made right. To be made right. Before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, before I was saved, I was wrong. I was wrong with God. I was wrong with His Word. But when by faith, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, receiving Him as John chapter 1 verse 12, putting my faith in Him, God made me right.
Amen.
My sin was dealt with.
Amen.
And I was made right. I was justified. I was made right with God. Well, how did He make this peace? How was it that He made me right? Well, the Apostle Paul writes again when he was in his letter to the Colossian church in chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians 1 and verse 20. And he says this. And get this. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him do reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. How was that process? What was it? How was it that I was made right with God? Jesus died to pay the price of my sin, to pay the wages of my sin. What was the price that he paid? His blood. His blood was shed. Whose blood should have been shed? My blood. I'm the one that owed the debt. I'm the one that earned those wages of eternal death. But Jesus died, shed his blood, and paid the debt for me. We'll look at that more later on. Jesus, through the payment of our debt, set us free, made us right with God. What's that word that Paul uses? Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things. Where we were separated from God, alienated from God. Why? Because of our sin. Jesus entered in, paid that debt with his blood, and made peace between me, a sinner, and a holy and righteous God. He reconciled us. Amen. Isn't it beautiful? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He set the believer free from his sin. The result? Hallelujah. The result, a Christian has peace then. Has peace through that blood that was shed to pay for his sin. The peace with God. We've been made right with God. But then there's also the peace of God. The peace of God. According to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 79. It says there, Jesus came to give light to them that sit in darkness. That's where I was.
Amen.
In the darkness of my sin. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. What's the shadow of death? In my darkness and in my lost condition, the literal shadow of death overshadowed me, hung over me. The wages of sin is death. If I'd have died in my lost condition, I would have been called upon to pay those wages. But we go back to our verse. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Into the way of peace. Now this is a hard one. This is a hard one. Stick with me. Believers, Christians. It's easy for us. In fact, I would say it is our tendency to carry the baggage of our old life into our new life in Christ. We've all got baggage. Many times there's self-imposed guilt over past sin. Resentment, even anger about things that have happened to us along the way. There's not a Christian in this room that couldn't say, well, such and such happened to me. There's the continued struggles to simply live for Jesus Christ. To live for Him. Oh my, with all that, oftentimes depression grips us and nothing seems to be right anymore. Am I knocking on someone's door? It affects us, beloved. It affects us emotionally. It affects us sometimes physically.
Amen.
And it'll affect us spiritually. Satan. Oh, yeah, he wants to get in on the act, too. Satan then will use these issues, all these issues, to rob us of what? To rob us of that peace that Jesus died, shed his blood to give us. He wants to destroy, he wants to wipe out those blessings that are ours in Christ, all the joy that is ours. On top of that, the devil, another name for Satan. When you see that name, devil, in the scriptures, it usually has something to do with his lies. The word itself means false accuser. The name devil means false accuser. On top of that, the false accuser, the devil, listen, will convince us that there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us. If you're not just happy and clicking your heels and enjoying every moment of every day. Some have laughed at me because I'll talk about coat hanger smiles that Christians wear. And I say, what is a coat hanger smile, preacher? It's called, how you doing? I'm just doing great. Everything's wonderful.
Man.
And you walk around the corner and the shoulders go down and the reality takes, coat hangers, just fake. A fake. But in spite of what's going on, in spite of what we might see as the circumstances, peace in your life does not depend on your circumstances. I can have God's peace in the midst of any storm.
Amen.
Can have peace in the midst of a storm of circumstance.
Right.
Because guess what? We're all going to deal with those things along the way. We're all going to deal with heartache in some form, in some way. But God gives peace no matter what the struggle, no matter what the circumstances are that we may be facing. God's still a God of peace. Now listen to this. Many have Jesus Christ as their Savior, but do not have His peace. That's sad. And might I say it this way? You can be saved and be enjoying His peace today, but the storms of tomorrow may rob you of that peace unless you're prepared. Unless you're prepared. In the Gospel of Mark, verse 39 of chapter 4, Mark 4, verse 39, on the Sea of Galilee, says this, and he, Jesus, he arose out of the bow of the ship. He arose, he rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He turned to his disciples. He turned to those who were his followers. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What was their problem? They weren't trusting God. Now get this, they weren't trusting God. He goes on and says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Get that, beloved? We need to get this. The disciples had Jesus with them in the boat, but the storm still terrified them. Why? Jesus said their faith was lacking. Their understanding of his power. What man is this? He's the Son of God, God the Son.
Right.
Do we understand that, beloved? Do we understand? When you have Jesus in your boat, you don't need to fear any storm.
Amen. That's
right. Now, let this, here's the question for you. Right now, today, do you think the storms in your life that you're facing right now are too big for God? What storm is too big for God? Of course not. What? Because of that, we need not fear. What is the number one thing that steals our peace?
Fear.
Huh? Jesus said to his disciples, those that were closest to him, why are you so fearful? And they're probably all looking at each other like, what's the right answer, guys? Because they lacked faith. They lacked trust in the one that was there in the boat with them. Where's the Lord Jesus? If you're saved, where is the Lord Jesus Christ? He lives in you. Huh? He takes up residence in you by His Spirit. Huh? So he's not just in the boat. He's in you. Huh? Christ liveth in us. What need we fear? What need we fear? Wow. Why? Paul said something about this in his letter to the Ephesian church in chapter 2 in verse 14. Why do we not need to fear? He says, because He is our peace. Jesus Christ is your peace, if you're saved. Now, preacher, you got to understand, I'm dealing with some things in my life. There's some things going on in my family and at my house, and it's rough. I'm not taking anything away from that. What I'm trying to say to you is that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give you peace even as you face that circumstance. Even as He takes you through that circumstance. What is His promise? We say it over and over and over. His promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is our peace. Jesus Christ. Not the preacher. Not the church. Jesus is our peace. Is our peace. We can cling to Him. My peace, your peace, is safe. It is secure in Him. Just as sure, just as secure as He is God. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is God?
Amen.
Then we're secure in Him.
Amen.
We're secure in Him. Wow. He gives the stability that we need. I don't pick on Miss Judy. She came in around the corner today, and I turned and looked at her, and she did one of these numbers. And I want to reach out to her and give her a little bit of what? Stability. Stabilize her a little bit. You feel the wobbles coming on? You feel like the earth shaking? Jesus is right there.
Amen.
Just take hold. Now, what do we mean when we say take hold of Him? What we're talking about is you take hold of those promises. You take hold of what the Word of God says about those circumstances. Again, you take hold. Hey, you lay down your head at night and you're struggling, you're battling, and you start watering your pillow with your tears. Be reminded. Jesus, I know this is so profound. Jesus loves me.
Amen. Yes, he does.
Huh? Jesus loves me. Huh? He loves me. Is he going to abandon me?
No, sir.
No, he's already promised not to do that.
That's right.
Care if it's one of you young people, one of you that just got saved. You, I hate to say this. Satan's going to throw everything he can at you because he wants to discourage you. He wants to somehow convince you that all that getting saved stuff was a bunch of baloney. But it's not. 47 years down the road, and I'm telling you, it's just as exciting, just as wonderful as it was that day in December 1974. Amen. Did you know the calendar went back that far? When God saved me. As one old evangelist says, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder. And sweeter and sweeter. Why? Because he, Jesus, is our peace.
Amen.
How many storms have you got through and you're on the other side? And all you can do is give him the glory for it. You understand that it wasn't by your strength. It wasn't by your ability. The storm would have swamped your ship. But because Jesus was there. And he was there giving you his presence. Right? The knowledge that he's there. He lives in me. Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
This little old hillbilly from the hills of Pennsylvania, that God would be pleased to save me? He gives that. He calms. Isn't that great? I like that word, calm. There's times when you might not feel so calm. Until you remember who's in control.
Amen.
And that calm. I need that a lot of times. Just remind us. Jesus is still on the throne.
Amen.
Right. He's still in control. And because I'm a citizen of his kingdom, I have peace. I have peace. Two kinds of peace, right? The peace with God. He made me right with him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that moment, the very moment when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he cleanses you in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Cleanses you. Makes you, as John 1:12 says in 13, his child. The peace with God. But then there's that everyday experience of the peace of God. Enjoying the peace with God guarantees our eternity with him. The peace of God. Gives us that moment by moment peace that we can enjoy that eternity. Do you need that peace? Do you lack that peace in your life? Jesus Christ conquered all the enemies. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave.
Amen.
So the question, do you need to his peace? Do you need Jesus Christ and his peace today? That peace of heart. that peace of mind. As we said a moment ago, He gives peace for today, right now. But He also gives peace for eternity.
Amen.
The knowledge of that. The knowledge that I have an eternity. Because I know Jesus Christ is my... I have eternity to enjoy Him. Hallelujah. My. At this point, you may say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I still struggle. I still struggle to have that peace of God. Beloved, dear one, all I can do is remind you of who it is that lives in you.
Huh?
He's the captain of our salvation. He's the captain. We'll stay with the boat. He's the captain of our ship. Jesus, the Son of God, as He walked this earth, calmed the waves and the wind. And along the way, He laid down His life. He died for you. For you. And again, reminding ourselves why He did it. Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Jesus will guarantee. No.
Amen.
Jesus is the guarantee.
Amen.
He is the guarantee. Nothing. Listen to me, Christian. Nothing that can happen in your life can steal that peace. It's yours. Guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Let's stand together. Father, we come to You in the name of Your Son.
Amen.
We come in Jesus' name, asking You that even at this point in the service, You'd be in complete control. I'm confident that there's folks in this meeting today that still need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Please, please, even today, might they understand what You did for them through Your Son, Jesus. That this day might be that day, even the hour, that You would make them right, reconcile them to Yourself. Lord, please, if anyone needs saved today, please work in that heart. But Lord, I'm also asking You, in Jesus' name, for that believer, probably many in this room that are battling and struggling. The issues, the circumstances of life are crowding in. Lord, I'm asking You, Lord, please show Yourself in all Your great power and all Your beauty, Lord, the beauty of Your grace, the beauty of Your mercy, the beauty, the wonder of Your presence. That they, no matter what the battle, matter what the storm, can have that peace, Your peace. We ask it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen and amen. Brother DJ, do you have a song for us?
Let's turn to number 160. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen. Of course, as we sing, I'm just asking you, please, I don't know what the Lord may be doing or dealing with you about in your heart or life. Please know these altars are open. You can come and lay it out before the Lord. Pour out your heart before Him. Know that He does love you and He will do for you. Do you need to be saved? We're here to be as best as we can, point you to Jesus. Point you to the one who can do for you. As we sing, just obey the Lord.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting He passed, and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Seated for just a moment, Brother Anson.
Yes.
This is Anson Jones, Carol Ann Webster's son. I'm going to stand up here. You're taller than me. And Anson's come this morning to present himself for membership here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. He said, I've been visiting here for 2 or 3 years, thought it was time I joined. I agree. Amen. And Anson has been saved since he was, what did you say, 10 or 12 years old?
10, 12, yes, sir.
And he was baptized in Calvary Baptist Church in Waco, Texas.
That's right.
And again, what we do is, I mean, I should have said it a different way. Anson, you are saved. You're confident of your salvation.
Yes, sir.
And it's your desire to become a member at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Should we, you want to do that on a statement of faith of your salvation?
Yes, that's fine. Yes, sir.
Okay. And church family, all in favor of receiving Anson on his statement of faith and declaration of his baptism, say amen.
Amen.
Pose the same sign, so ordered. Welcome to the body of Christ here. It calls
Thank
itself Metropolitan Baptist
right.
Church.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Alan and Carolyn. Hey, bro, no. Come back here. Pray for Anson. He's got this thing in his virus or infection that he's battling in his feet. But Alan and Carolyn, would you come and stand with Anson? Church family, you make your way by here and welcome Anson into the church family.
Thank
would
you very much.
Amen.
Yeah, sure.
Amen.
Yes,
praise
sir.
The Lord.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Got a chorus for us there, brother?
Yes, sir. In
Amen.
His time.
Amen. Let's stand together, folks.